Okay, good morning. We should start by Crohn. So we have a lot of ground to cover, and we have one day this week, so we're going to go pretty quickly. But anyway, we are at the two dots at the bottom of Nun Amud Beis. So we were previously learning about the unique relationship between Rebbe and Bar Kapara. So Yoma the Mechayech Be Rabba. So Rebbe had he would specifically impoverish himself so that to kind of save the world. So any day that he would laugh, Asya Perinas La'alma, that bad things would happen to the world, because he kind of took the grief of the world onto himself. Armoil of Bar Kapara. So he said to Bar Kapara, Lo to Barchin, don't make me laugh, or don't make sure that I don't get too happy. Avihin Alach, Arba Guru Grive Chite, and I'll give you 40 measures of wheat. So Armalay, so he says, Bar Kapara said back to him, Lech Zemar, I'm going to do this, but I'll take as much as I want. Not just 40, I'll take as much as I want. What did he do? Shakal Diklud Rabba. He took a large basket. Chafi Kufre, coated it. V'chas Sachsve Al-Rashe. He turned it upside down and put it on top of his head. V'azlan, he went, V'armaleh, and he went to Rebbe, and he said, Lekhali Mar Arbar Grive Chite Dar Shinrabach. Give me the 40 amounts of wheat that you owe me. Right, so, you know, this is kind of a silly thing that he did. He's covered with a basket that's upside down in his head. He said, give me wheat, in a way that is just not, you can't give him wheat when he has an upside down basket on top of his head. So, Achu Rebbe left. Armalay, and Rebbe said to him, Lava Zartiche de la Devachin. Didn't I tell you not to make me laugh? Armalay, Bar Kapara said back to him, Chita Dashina Kad Nasibne. I'm only taking the wheat that you owe me. So, whether this means that he's saying he didn't really owe him anything, or there was something else that, you know, he basically was alluding to him that. That he was going to make him laugh no matter what. So now we're going to talk about interesting things that happened at the wedding of Rebbe's son with Bar Kapara. So Amalei Bar Kapara Varti the Rebbe. He said to the daughter, Bar Kapara said to Rebbe's daughter the day before the wedding, "Umachar tomorrow, Shasina Chamra Barduki Davucha Barkinot Imach. Tomorrow, your mother's going to pour me wine, and your father's going to dance for me at this wedding." Ben Alasha Chasin to Rebbe Havi. He was the son-in-law of Rebbe, Asher Gadol Havi, and he was very wealthy. Azam Levehilula to Rebbe Shimon Rebbe. And he was invited to this wedding, which was a Rebbe Shimon Rebbe's son. Amalei Bar Kapara Rebbe. And at the wedding, Bar Kapara said to Rebbe, "My Taweva." What does the word Taweva mean? Taweva is used in the Torah to describe homosexuality. So he said to him, "What does that word mean?" Called the Amalei Rebbe Dahachin Hu Taweva. Any explanation that Rebbe gave about the word Taweva. Parcha Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara would challenge it or explain why it wasn't valid. So Armalei Parshil At. You said, well, all right, you tell me what Taweva means. Armalei Bar Kapara then said to Rebbe, first, Teiti Devichei Tirmi Menach, let your wife come and pour me wine. Asa Rami Lei. Then his wife came and poured him wine. Armalei Rebbe. Then Bar Kapara said to Rebbe, not so fast. Kumru Kodli the Amrilab. You first dance for me, and then I'm gonna tell you what the answer is. And he did. Hachi Amirachman. He said, this is what the Pasuk means. Taweva, the word Taweva means Toe Ataba, that you're basically making a mistake. You're doing something that's inappropriate. So basically by doing this, he got, you know, his wife to pour him wine and Rebbe to dance for him. L'chasachrina, and then he wanted to continue to play around this way. L'chasachrina Amlay, and to get another cup of wine. He said, my tevel. What does the word tevel mean? Tevel is used in the Torah to describe a woman who is involved with bestiality. So, armalei ki'inin kadama. The same thing happened. He tried to explain, and everything that he explained, Bar Kapara challenged. So, armalei ivdali d'armalach. You know, if you want me to tell you what it means, you have to do the same thing for me again. You got to pour me wine, you got to dance for me. Oven, they did this, they did it again. Armalei tevel hu tavlin yeshba. So this thing that you're doing, which is this bestiality, is it really so enjoyable? It's like, not, there's no spice to it. Why would you be involved with an animal? Then he said, Armalei, my Zima. What does the word Zima mean? Zima is used in the Torah to explain a adulterous relationship. So Armalei, Bar Kapara said to Rebbe, Iva Kinyan et Kabdama. Do the same thing again. Pour me wine and dance for me. Avad Armalei, and he did this. And he said, what does it mean? Zo mahi, who is this? Meaning that because you don't know who the father of the baby is, because the woman is involved with multiple men. So he did all these things. Right? So he got him to drink, he did all these things, you know, not necessarily the most wonderful way of treating him. Well, Yachal ben Elash was the son-in-law. the wealthy son-in-law didn't like this. He couldn't tolerate it anymore. Kavanafekov is the same mitaman. He went with his wife and he left the wedding. So Ben Elash, my Ben Elash, what was noteworthy about Ben Elash? The Tanya went to Brisa, Lo Luchinam Pisa Ben Elash Esma Osav. He got a lot of money inherited from his father. And he used it, he didn't use it for nothing, but he used it to get an expensive haircut, but not for a bad reason. El haros behen tisporosh a Kohen Gadol, but so that people would know the right way that a Kohen Gadol is supposed to have his haircut. Dichsiv kisom yichsum es rashayim, because there's a very specific, complicated haircut, so he would spend his money to maintain that haircut so that people would have an example of how to cut the Kohen Gadol's hair. Tana, and we learned the Brisa, Kein lulanis. It's a lulianic haircut, whatever that means. My lulianis, I'm Rav Yehuda. Tispra yechidita. It's a very unique in how beautiful it is. Heichidami, and how did it look? I'm a Rava. Rosh Hashozeh besadi kara shozeh. The tip of one hair reached the base of the next hair, so it's like this whole complicated system. Behind a tisporosh of Kohen Gadol. Now was the haircut of the Kohen Gadol. So basically, Ben Elasha spent a lot of money to keep having this haircut, so people would always know how this worked. Okay, fine. Back to our original Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that if someone makes a neder that they're not going to have any kind of cooked food, there were certain exemptions. One of the exemptions was Ubi Delas Harmamutsa, Ramutsa gourd. And the Gemara asks, what is my Delas Harmamutsa? What is this? Our Mishmuel, he says, Kara Karkuza, it's a Karkuzian gourd. And Ravashi says, no, Delas Hatmuna Beremes. It doesn't mean a specific type of gourd, it means any kind of gourd that's baked in hot ashes. So, challenging Rav Ashi, we learn, Asfei Ravina Le Rav Ashi, Rem Nechemi Omer, he says, Delas Aramis Hi Delas Ametis, an Aramean gourd is the same as an Egyptian gourd, and it's Kilayimim HaYavanis. And together they are Kilayim if they're planted together with a Greek gourd. And Kilayim Im Ramutza, and it's also Kilayim if it's planted with a Ramutza gourd. So what this proves is that the Ramutza gourd is an actual gourd. It's not saying it's just the way it's cooked. So therefore, it refutes Rav Ashi, and the Gemara says, Tiyufta, it indeed refutes Tiyufta, we finalize that this is an actual gourd. And the end of our Mishnah said, Hanoder Masa Kedera, someone who makes a neder against using something that's made in a pot, Ein Aser Eli Masa Resachsta, he's only forbidden by something that's boiled excessively. But if he says, Omer Konam Hayor Le Kedera Shani Tom, he says anything that it goes into this pot is konam that I'm going to taste it. Aser b'chol anasa b'kadera. Then it's aser for anything that's actually made in the pot, whether it's boiled or not. In Tani, we learned in the Baraisa. Hanoder min ayor l'kadera, someone who makes a neder against anything that goes into the pot, is also aser b'yor l'ilfas, is also aser anything that goes into the pan, because anything that's pan-cooked, they would boil it first. So by virtue of it being pan-cooked, meant that it had been boiled already first. Shekfar yaro kadera kodem shalo afas, because it was boiled in the kadera before it went into the pan. However, mina yaro alfas, but someone who says I'm taking a neder not to have anything that's cooked in a pan, muta biyaro kadera is therefore allowed to have something that's cooked in a pot because there's no connection in the other direction. And someone says mina nasa bikadera, someone who says something that's finished in a pot. Muter b'nasa b'alfas is allowed to have something that's finished in the pan. Mina nasa b'alfas, and someone says something that's finished in a pan, muter b'osa b'kadera, is allowed to have something that is finished in a pot. Hanoder mina yared l'tan, or someone who makes a neder against something that goes into an oven, ain aser el b'pas, that only applies to bread. V'im amar kol masa taner alai, if he says anything that's actually made in this oven is prohibited to me, Aser b'chol anasa b'tanor. It's less specific. It's more inclusive. So it includes anything that was prepared in the oven. I'm going to Amud Beis, new Mishnah. Min ha kavush. Someone says something that a neder against any kind of preserved food. En aser ela min ha kavush min shal yarek. It's only talking about preserved vegetables. However, if he says kanush enu shani toim, the neder is any kind of preserved food that I taste. Aser b'chol kavush means then usher of any kind of anything that's preserved, vegetable, or anything else. Min ha-shalach, if he makes a neder about having undercooked food. Ein usher el min ha-shalach shel basar. It's only talking about if it's undercooked meat, but if he says shalach chein toim, shani toim, any uncooked food that I cook, usher b'chol ha-shalukim. That includes all undercooked foods. The Gemara says, Armalei Rav Acha b'Reidah Rav Avi or Rav Ashi, Amar the chvishmai. If someone says that is that something that's preserved is usher to me, what is the halacha? The shalachmai, if he says something that's undercooked, what is the halacha? The tzalimai, if someone says that which is roasted, what is the halacha? The malachmai, if someone says that is salted, what is the halacha? Heichan mashma. It really means whatever is the common usage wherever they are, right? So is that true, or is there some standard, right? Is it a variable based upon, in my community it's one way, in someone else's community another way, or is there a standard? Tibai, it's not really answered. Okay, new Mishnah, minat sali. If someone says a neder not to have something that's from roast, ena asa mitzali shel basar. It's only talking about roasted meat. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Sali shani tawein, but if it's roasted that I eat, asar b'chol asluyim. That includes, again, all roasted foods. So again, the pattern here is that if you just say roasted or preserved or anything like that, it's something specific. But if you make it more any kind of roasted that I eat, it's more inclusive. So therefore, you would therefore be prohibited for more than just the one thing. Mina maliach, anything salted. In asr mina maliach shel dag. It's only talking about salted fish. Maliach sheni toim, but salted food that I taste. Asr b'chol ameluchim. It's all salted foods.
It's also hot, right? Which means that in those instances where it says hot, like
right. So correct. Right. Correct. It's the terminology. Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Hot sali. Correct. Dagim sheni toim. If someone says fishes that I taste, asr behen ben gedolim ben ktanim. That includes large fish and small fish. Ben melucha ben tefel, whether salted or unsalted. Ben chayim ben mevushalim, whether raw or cooked. Umutter, however, he's allowed to have a taris trufa batsir. He's allowed to have chopped taris, some kind of large fish, and brine. And hanoda mina tzachana. Someone makes a neder against tzachana. It's some sort of mixture of salted fish. Aser b'taris trufa. It's forbidden to have chopped taris. Umutar b'tzira murias, but is allowed to have brine and fish juice. Hanoder b'taris trufa. You make a neder against chopped taris. Mutar b'tzira umuria is therefore permitted to have brine and juice. So there's, you know, based upon the terminology, it either includes or excludes certain things. Tanya went to the brayser. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, dog shani tog. If you say that this fish that I taste, you use the word dog. Aser b'gdola m'muta b'gtan. That only applies to large fish. But if he says daga shani tog, that this daga that I taste, aser b'gtan, that applies to small fish, m'muta b'gdola. But if he says dog daga shani tog, if he says dog and daga, aser b'gdola m'muta. Include large fish and small fish. How do I know that the word dog talks about large fish? Because it says, by Yonah, that the fish came and to eat Yonah and to swallow Yonah, and it used the word dog, implying it was a large fish. But it says, just a little bit later on, use the word daga, that Yonah prayed from inside the daga, so maybe it means the large fish as well. Our answer is halokasha. Dilma, maybe what happened is, palte dag gadol, he was swallowed by a large fish, ubalye dag katan, and then he was swallowed by a small fish. So he was swallowed by two different fish, big fish swallowed him, dag, small fish swallowed him, daga, maybe. But it also says, v'hadaga, elevadaga, asher b'yar me. So when it comes to Mitzrayim, by the Maka of Dam, it says that the daga, the fish, died. Tan and Mesu Gdolim al Mesu, is that only mean that the small fish died? Eladaga mashba gdolim mashaktana. But maybe in the pasuk it means, what use the words daga, it means large fish and small fish. Ubinadarin, but when you make a neder, Halach echalasha many adim. You do what the common folks say. So when the common folks speak, they say, when they say dog, they mean a big fish. They say daga, they mean a small fish. Hanod mina tzachana. You make a neder against tzachana. So that we learned earlier, right? So we said, you know, whether what kind of chopped fish or brine, whatever. Amalei Ravino Ravashi. Amar Hare Alai Tzichin Mai. If someone says, Tzichin shall be prohibited to me like a carbon, what's the halacha? Does it allow him to eat brine or fish juice or whatever? Tibai, we don't know. We have to look into it. New Mishnah. Hanode mina chalav mutar bekom. Someone who makes a neder against having milk is allowed to have whey. So whey is part of, whey comes from when you go through milk production, you have a step which involves whey. Ubinakom, but if you make a neder against whey, mutter b'chalav, you're allowed to have milk. Abba Shmuel omer hanoda min agvina, if you make a neder against cheese, asar ba ben melucho tfela, you're not allowed to have salted cheese or unsalted cheese. Okay, hanoda min abasar, if you make a neder against having meat, going to nun beis, mutar berotev ubekipa, you're allowed to have meat gravy and meat shreds. But he forbids it, right? So basically, when you say you're not going to have meat, that does not preclude you from having meat gravy or like the little pieces of leftover meat. But Rabbi Yossi does not allow that. I'm Rabbi Huda. Masev, Asar, Alein, Rabbi Tarfon, Beveitzim, Shnishpashu, Al Imo. It once happened that Rabbi Tarfon wouldn't allow them to have eggs that were cooked together with meat. So like by virtue of them having just the taste of meat, He didn't allow it, so that might go along with why Rabbi Yossi didn't allow it, right? So Rabbi Yossi is the one. Rabbi Yossi follows Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Rabbi Tarfon wouldn't even allow them to have eggs that were cooked with meat. So certainly you wouldn't allow them to have gravy or have these leftover pieces. Armelo Kena Davar, is it really the case that Rabbi Tarfon did this? Amasai, when did he do so? Bizman sheyomer basar ze alai, at the time that he'll say this meat is forbidden to me. When you make a neder against something and it mixes with something else, if there's enough of it to give flavor, it becomes forbidden. So this whole concept of nosein tam. So there's a gigantic run on this page that we're not going to go into because of time. And there's a long footnote number 5 that you can read at your leisure. You know, the run has a lot of question about this because there's a whole concept of we know about beetle, right? We could have, 1 in 60 or all these other things, and this talks about no Saint Tom and how it applies. But, for now, we'll just continue to move on. Similar ruling, hanoder min hayayin, someone who makes a neder against having wine, muter betavshel sheyesh bo tam yayin, is allowed to have a cooked dish that has a taste of wine in it. But if he says, konam yayin sheni toim, I am making a neder against tasting wine, and it fell into a cooked dish, if it gives taste to the food, you taste the wine in the food, okay, going to Amud Beis. Gemara said, the Mishnah we learned that about, if you made a neder about milk, you're allowed to have whey, etc. Raminu, we have a contradiction that from something else that we learned. Minha adashim, someone who makes a neder against having lentils, Aser Bashishim is also prohibited from eating honey-fried lentils. Rabbi Yossi Matir. Rabbi Yossi would allow it, right? So the issue is that Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, when he talked about the whey, right, said something different, right? He said, we talked about this. Rabbi Yossi would usser the milk and the whey, right? He didn't say it was one or the other. So why is he allowing honey fried lentils, but not the, versus just saying it's similar to whey the same way? Lo kasha, it's not a problem. So the Tanakhama and Yossi do not actually disagree about whether when you are usser one thing and it includes the related foods or not. Marki Asri or Marki Asri. They come from different places. So in certain places it's one way, in certain places it's another way. But Asr the Rabbanan, in the area of the Rabbanan where they lived, Kar Lechalva Chalva, they called milk milk, Lakoma Koma, and they called way way. However, but Asr the Rav Yossi, where he lived, Lakoma Nami Karle Koma de Chalva. When they talked about way, they called it way of milk. So therefore, that's why Rav Yossi in that case in our Mishnah would say that someone who prohibits milk would also prohibit whey because of the association that they did there. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Hanoda min hachalav, if you make a neder against milk, muter bekom, you're allowed, this is the same thing we learned in our Mishnah, is allowed to have whey, min hakom, muter bechalav. No, it's different than what our Mishnah said. It's Tanakama's opinion, right? So it splits it out. Min hachalav, if you make a neder against milk, muter begvina, you're allowed to have cheese, min hagvina, muter bechalav, if you make against cheese, you're allowed to have milk. Mina rotev, against meat gravy, muter b'kipa, you're allowed to have meat shreds. Mina kipa, if you make against meat shreds, muter b'rotev, you're allowed to have the gravy. Im amar basar ze'alai, if you make a neder that this meat is a konam to me, I can't have it. Aser bo uberotvo uberkipa, because he said this meat, right? He said this specific meat, then it also applies to its byproducts, its gravy and its shreds. Hanoder min hayayin, to make a nether against wine. Mutter betavshel sheyeshbo tamyan, is permitted to have a cooked dish that tastes like wine. However, amar konim yayin zesheni toim, he says this wine is calm about tasting it. V'nachva l'tocha tavshil, im yeshbo tamyayin areza aser. If it tastes like the wine, then it's aser. Similar to what we just learned before. Okay, next Mishnah. Arnon, how we doing? Okay. Hanodim min ha'anavim, someone who makes a neder against grapes. Mutar b'yayin, is allowed to have wine. Min ha'zeisim, if you make a neder against having olives, mutar b'shemen, you're allowed to have oil, right? So you might have thought that since it's a byproduct of it that you don't. Amar konim zeitim v'anavim elo shanitam, if he says these grapes and these olives are konim to me about tasting them, then it includes them and their byproducts. Asr bahen u'bayotza bahen. By Rabbi Chama, he asked, Ela Dafka, is it the fact that he uses the word Elu, right? That he says, Konim Zaysim Anavim Elu. Is it by virtue of the fact that he uses the word Elu that it emerges that you would include those other things? Oh, Sha'ani Toim Dafka. Or is it because he said, I tasted? So is it because he used the word Elu? Or is it because he said that I tasted? Is Alka Daitach Elu Dafka. If it's because he used the word Elu, Shani told him, Wamale, why do we have to specifically say that he said that I'm tasting? Our answer is, Haikamash Milan, it teaches a case where the person who made the nether used both things. The Afagav, the Amr Shani told him that even though he said that these are the ones that I'm tasting, Eid Amr Elu Mityasar, but if he had said Elu, automatically, then the wine and the oil would be prohibited, V'lavlo. So it doesn't matter the fact that he said that I tasted it, it's just a matter that he said Elu. Amarava Tashma, we learned from the following Mishnah. Konim Peros Ha'elu Alai. If someone said, these fruits, Ha'elu, are Konim to me. Konim Hein Lefi. Or if he said, they are Konim to my mouth. Slightly different terminology. Aser Bichli Lefeyam Bigidaleim. He is prohibited to get any benefit from them, even if you exchange something for them. So in theory, you could have, you know, sometimes when you're talking about a fruit, if you exchange it for something else, it might enable you to have the exchange product. But here, because you specifically said Elu or the language that you used, both it and what you transfer for are usher to you. Habayotza mehan mutter. That implies, though, that something that emerges from that would be mutter, right? That so the note says that this assumes that there's a greater reason to prohibit something that you exchange for it than something that is actually emerges from it, right? So maybe, and is that because he used the word elu, right? So specifically talked about the fruits. Hu adin, dafilo b'yotza mehem basar. In truth, this isn't really the case, that even the oil and the wine that comes out of the grapes or the olives would be usar. V'ha adif alei lashmu'ini, but the Tana didn't spell it out. D'chalufa b'giduloyim mahen. Because things that you get in exchange for it are similar to things that grow from it and are together. So the fact that he didn't spell it out doesn't really teach us anything that it really the case should be. Not only is it about exchanges, but it's also about whether the oil or the wine that comes from the grapes. Tashma she'ani ochel v'she'ani toem. It makes a neder about anything that I'm going to eat or anything that I'm going to taste. Muta b'chulufem g'duleim is therefore allowed to eat or taste things that are received in exchange for that thing. Ha hayotze mehen aser, that implies that something that comes out of them is aser. So basically it's saying that the way this terminology is saying is that the exchange of them would be allowed, but the things that come out of it, the wine and the oil, would be prohibited. Because he's using the word talking about tasting or eating. Our answer is Eide Delo Nasibiresha Yotze Mehem, that the Mishnah's case is a little different, but we have something earlier in the Resha that taught us something different. Lo Nasib Name Basefa Yotzim, the later part of the Mishnah didn't really teach it. So I think this is probably a good place to stop. I think we went far enough, and we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem next week.